Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The classic blaxploitation film, Superfly, celebrates its 50th anniversary this month. NPR's Eric Deggans talked to several people who made the movie to discover how a scrappy independent film about a cocaine dealer became one of the most influential black-centered films in history.
Even if you haven't seen the movie, you probably know the theme song. Oh, Superfly. Along with Shaft, which was released a year earlier, R&B star Curtis Mayfield's theme for Superfly led one of the most successful movie soundtracks of the blaxploitation era. It helped turn the film into one of the most profitable movies of its time, earning millions while briefly dethroning The Godfather as the top film of 1972. Ooh, and since then, the movie's gritty, authentic depiction of street life and its flamboyant lead character, a sharp-dressing, karate-kicking drug dealer named Youngblood Priest, helped create archetypes which inspired legions of storytellers and musicians. There's films like New Jack City and TV shows like The Wire. In music, influences range from Mary J. Blige sampling Mayfield's Give Me Your Love for her hit, I'm the Only Woman, to Fishbone rocking out on a cover of Mayfield's hit, Freddy's Dead. Still, there's a lot some people don't know about the film Superfly, including the meaning of the title, which describes the high quality of cocaine that Priest sold.
Fly was the term at the time. Well, that's fly. You know, looking fly. I put super to it and made Superfly.
That's Philip Fenty, a former advertising executive who wrote the script for Superfly. Aware of the success of Shaft and inspired by a burgeoning black-centered independent film and theater movement in New York, Fenty wanted to write his own film. He saw a cover story in New York Magazine about a rising black drug dealer called the Man with the Golden Nose, and then a friend brought a dealer to Fenty's apartment in New York, warning him not to square up or act too straight-laced.
He said, boy, don't you square up on me. So, oh, please, come in. It was truly one of the most incredible evenings I've ever spent in my time.
Fenty worked with Nate Adams, a boyhood friend, who developed the character's signature look by digging up the clothes himself. Adams also found the tricked-out car that Priest drives, a Cadillac Eldorado with custom Rolls-Royce-style grille and special headlights, driven by a guy at a local shoeshine parlor. They team with producer Sig Shore for funds, casting another friend from Cleveland, up-and-coming stage actor Ron O'Neill, as Priest, a smart player seeking one last score to get out of the life. Of course, another reason the film hit big was Mayfield's soundtrack, packed with hits like Freddy's Dead, Pusher Man, and the film's theme song. Todd Mayfield, Curtis's son, said his father began writing songs almost immediately after Fenty and Shore gave him a script, creating songs with stories that added to the film's narrative.
The soundtrack made these characters more than one-dimensional, you know. It gave them some depth, and it made you sometimes think about them in a little bit of a different way than the face value that you're seeing early in the film.
But not everyone loves seeing black drug dealers and the street life humanized. Junius Griffin, then president of the NAACP's Beverly Hills Hollywood branch, is credited with coining the term blaxploitation shortly after the film's release, saying such films exploit black people while encouraging them to embrace destructive ideals. Sheila Frazier, who played Priest's girlfriend Georgia, still sees the word blaxploitation as an insult.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. They didn't call it white exploitation when we looked at Cagney films and a lot of the films that dealt with mafia and bootlegging.
Todd Boyd, a professor at the University of Southern California and a cultural commentator featured in the DVD commentary for Superfly, agrees with Frazier. He notes that Priest outsmarts corrupt cops and rivals to get out of a life that's dangerous and depressing.
There's this sense of black power mixed with capitalism and this desire to be kind of a street entrepreneur. And to put it in a film, it kind of gives that pursuit of life meaning in a way that it wouldn't have had otherwise.
Superfly eventually spawned two half-hearted sequels and a 2018 remake film. Many of those involved in making the original movie, including O'Neill and Shore, have died, but the film's influence lives on. Frasier says Superfly succeeded by showing Black people something they hadn't seen before.
That was one of the rare times that someone from the inner city won, and like he walked away with not one hair touched on his pretty head.
Fenty offers a simpler explanation.
We in this country love outlaws. We still do. So he came from that, from the bottom. The only way to get to the top from the bottom is to be an outlaw.
As the nation still struggles with racism, poverty, police brutality, and social decay, the themes in Superfly remain resonant as ever, 50 years on. I'm Eric Deggans.
Some coke, have some weed.